most serious Bible students own a book called A Harmony of the Gospels. And A Harmony of the Gospel takes all the teachings in the New Testament and it tries to put them in a chronological order. All the books of the Bible were not written in the same order. Some men put something in one place and some in another place. A harmony tries to put them in the order that they happened. And the four men who wrote the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, recorded events around the ministry of Jesus as they saw them. It must be remembered, however, that the Gospels are inspired of the Holy Spirit, and He moved them to write as they did. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because they are more in line with each other. John speaks of things more often from a divine perspective. And the words are different, and the order and detail events may change some, but they're all under the direction of the Holy Spirit. The healing of this leper is a powerful display of our Lord's power and of His authority. And I want to bring you a message tonight, if the Lord will help me, that I've titled The Healing of a Cleansed Leper. And we use verse 41 as our text. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Every time I read that verse of scripture, I think about one time I was preaching in a black conference, and I preached on that text. And I tell you, those folks are just about to preach you into exhaustion. I got talking about him touching him, and they get excited about that. And it is something to be excited about if you're a leper. And that's where I want to start tonight. I want to talk about this terrible disease of leprosy. We have a lot of terrible diseases in our day today. But there has been progress made in so many of them. There have been medical progress made in dealing with heart trouble and with strokes and with cancer and Alzheimer's and a lot of other things. But this disease of leprosy was a horrible thing. We find the Lord of glory coming to this place and going into the synagogue and beginning to teach to them, and He showed them His power as God's true Messiah. They'd had all kinds of false messiahs come along and say, you know, we're God's answer and we're God's solution and we'll do this, that, and the other. But they did nothing. But Jesus proved Himself constantly to be God's Messiah. And His miracles are the seal that God has set on the authority of His teaching. There are people who teach, and people are moved to believe them because of their education or because of some title or because of some experience. But the Lord of glory taught with the authority of the Holy Spirit behind His lessons. He comes to this town, and this leper comes to Him in violation of the law and wants to make himself the object of Christ's glorious ministry. Now, there was no medical means to produce a healing of this disease. We live in a world today where you don't hear of anybody having leprosy. There used to be some huge leper colonies down in Louisiana and southern Mississippi. But they found a cure for leprosy less than 100 years ago, and so those things don't exist anymore. But in Jesus' time, if you got leprosy, it was a death sentence. You were going to die. It's just a matter of when and what kind of condition you were going to be in when it came to pass. There was nothing that the doctors could do, nothing that the priests could do, nothing that the faith healers could do anything with this disease of leprosy. But this leper demonstrated that Christ was a divine healer. He came to him and he said, "If you will, if you will." Not, "I want you to." Not, "People think you ought to." But, "If you will." It always amazes me that people that claim to be religious people don't have any assurance or confidence in the sovereignty of God, but people who have needs, they have great confidence in this. This man said, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, leprosy is an ugly disease. It's a pitiful condition. I've seen people with things that I just felt so sorry for them. Just hated to see anybody have that disease. My mother-in-law used to run a little store here in Mercer County, and there used to be a man came in there, and he had a boy, and he was, I don't know, a teenager, but he had what they used to call it alligator disease. But he had skin that looked like alligator scales all over him. Ugliest little boy you ever saw, but it's pitiful looking. Every time I'd say this, it just about sickened me. I'd feel so sorry for that boy. I don't know what ever came of him. But leprosy was a living death. It was a total corruption of the body. When you got leprosy, it affected every part of your being. And it was a disease that caused the body to fall apart piece by piece. Lepers were always losing something. You know, their ears would fall off, and their hands would fall off, their arms would fall off, their legs would fall off. A common thing with them was their jawbones would just fall off. They'd wear a veil around their face to cover the upper part of their mouth would be there, and the lower part of their jaw would all be gone. It was a disease that the law insisted that they, whenever they met anybody, they were to walk on the other side of the street and they were to call loudly, "Unclean, unclean," so the people wouldn't get close to them. It was highly contagious, or it was thought to be. The law, in fact, had a process in it for lepers that were cleansed, but we don't find any examples of that. Until Jesus came. I thought about that every once in a while. The priest must have thought, "What in the world is going on? We've got all these lepers that are getting healed and we don't know what to do with them." This man's healing was no tribute to a skilled physician. I've had more than my fair share of surgeries in my life, and there are several doctors who've operated on me, and I've been a great witness of them, and have told people, "If you need this kind of surgery, this is a guy or this is a woman to go see, because they really know what they're doing." But his healing had nothing to do with some medical doctor. It was a tribute instead to God's majestic glory. I hear people all the time talking about God healing this condition or healing that condition. It's usually something doctors have said, "It can't be healed, nobody can do anything for it." But let me tell you something. I think it's really important that we who are believers constantly are reminded of the fact that you can't get over a cold if God doesn't do something for you. I've been very conscious of that. I've had pneumonia the first half of this year, thought I never was going to get over it, and I'm not sure I'm not getting it again, but I look to the Lord. The only cure for any leper in biblical times was the touch of God. That was the only hope they had. You know what I found out about people? Long time ago I found this out. Found out through myself. Desperate people do desperate things. And this man who had leprosy and nobody could heal him and nobody could touch him and nobody could do anything for him, he had this disease and he knew that God was the only one that could heal him. And God had somehow put in his heart that Jesus was the one who could do that. And he'd come for that purpose. One of the other Gospels tells us that this man was full of leprosy. And that was an expression that was used to describe an aggravated case. It may be that this man had already had body parts fallen off. He may have been short an ear or a hand or whatever, an arm. But he was in a serious condition. He had a bad case of leprosy. And he came to show them his royal power as God's Messiah. It came to pass, in Luke 5:12, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The whole issue here is, do you will? As a leper, this man had to live alone. He had to cry unclean whenever he met anyone else except another leper in their travels. There were leper colonies a number of places throughout the Middle East. And these lepers would go there and they would live together. They were the only ones they could have any company with. And they would go there and they would live together and they would die together. Apart from God's applied mercy, every leper was doomed to die of this terrible disease. Everyone. Now, people go to doctors all the time and they find out they have some disease and they ask the doctor, what can you do for me? If you can't do anything, is there another doctor you can recommend? I knew a doctor one time that was a cancer specialist. He and I are good enough friends. I talked to him pretty straight. And I said to him, I said, it looks to me like that nothing you do seems to work very much. He smiled and he said, well, it doesn't. And why do you do it? Why do you take these people's money and put them through all this troubles and trials of this treatments? He said, because they want it. They'll do anything to try to get well. They'll do anything to try to get whole. And they do. These lepers were desperate. Desperate. Let's look at the atmosphere of this leper's cleansing. Look at verse 39. He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. There were a lot of happy people, joyous people in the land because the Lord of glory was coming through their country and he was casting out devils. There are people all around us that we refer to as crazy or insane or unbalanced. And my opinion's not worth any more. Anybody else's not worth any less. I'm convinced that most of those people are demon-possessed. Demons have not stopped possessing people. And nobody could do anything about a demon. But the Lord of glory was casting out demons from those who were possessed. Was it not sane for this man who had this horrible disease of leprosy to go to the one who cast out demons and say, "If you're willing, you can heal me. You can cleanse me"? You know, true reverence is seen in this leper. He came to him in faith. He wasn't invited. He wasn't called. He was desperate. Matthew 8:2 says, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.'" He called him Lord. He didn't see him as some tag-along teacher of Hebrew practices and theology. He saw him as the Lord. He came humbly to this Lord who had unlimited power. There are no doctors. Not then, and not now, who have unlimited power. You have the wrong disease, the wrong condition, and some doctor will say to you, "I'm sorry, I have done everything I can. You can go to somebody else. I don't think they can help you either." I hear that every once in a while. But the Lord of glory can heal anyone. The secret to recognizing his power, however, rests, as it says in Matthew 8:2, in the fact that he came and worshiped him. Came and worshiped him. If any would be healed of any disease, whether it be leprosy or cancer, Alzheimer's, whatever it might be, including sin, the Lord of glory has the power to heal. Miracles are sovereign interjections of holy power that God applies to some human being to cure the incurable. In his request, and in the Lord's reply, there's sweet music. He said, "Wilt thou?" If thou wilt, if thou wilt, thou couldst make me clean. In the next verse, Jesus says, "I will." It's like one of those old Civil War choruses when somebody would sing verses and somebody would sing the answer to it. "If thou wilt, I will." Perhaps this leper had heard of Christ's capacity to heal his body. He healed other lepers. This is the first one in chronological order. But he had heard of Christ's capacity to heal others of serious diseases. In fact, he may have heard some of Christ's messages. The Lord spoke plainly and clearly, and people would gather on hillsides to hear him. And maybe this leper heard him speak of God's power, heard him speak of God's justice, heard him speak of God's sovereignty. He had no doubt, it seems, about Christ's ability to heal his body. He doesn't say, "If you could." He doesn't say, "If you would learn." He doesn't say, "If you would practice." He says, "If you will. If you will." Through my going on 50 years of ministry, I've said that to a lot of people. And what strikes me about it is most people didn't believe it. If he wills, he'll heal you. But they want some charlatan to assure them that they will. And there are plenty of them around to tell them that. This man had no doubt about Christ's ability to heal him of leprosy. He'd never been healed. He'd never had one spot that was healed. But he said, if you will. What he doubted was not that Christ could heal him, but would Christ heal him? Will you be pleased to touch this corrupted, polluted, carnal flesh and make it whole? He doubted Christ's willingness. And I remember when I first met the Lord, I doubted it too. I thought, why? Here I am, God. You've showed me what I am. You've showed me what you are. Why would you do anything for me? He wondered if Christ would cleanse away this terrible disease of sin. Now note that the leper did not seek healing. He didn't ask him to heal him. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You say it's the same thing. No, it's more than that. Sometimes people will be healed of certain aspects of this disease. He wants to be clean. He wants to be clean. The disease was touched with the uncleanness of sinful corruption. The body was saturated with this disease. Places that hadn't broken out yet had it festering beneath the flesh. If you will, you can make me clean. The Bible teaches that leprosy is an emblem of sinful defilement. And everywhere in the Bible you find Christ healing a leper, you just know this, that the same Christ that healed that leper can cleanse their souls. And he did often. Leprosy that is healed is always referred to as being cleansed. Remember Moses one time, God said, I'll give you a sign. He said, put your hand in your shirt. He put his hand in his shirt, pulled back out, it covers leprosy. To put it back in there again, take it out. Healed. His sister Miriam got leprosy. God told him what to do, and she was healed. God can heal the leper. And more importantly, God can heal the sinner. Third thing I want us to see here is that the Lord replied to this man with a cry of cleansing. He said, I will, be thou clean. Mark records that Jesus looked on this man with compassion. Now you can look at people and not pay any attention to them. You can look at people and ignore their flaws and their defects. Sometimes we see somebody that's got an artificial joint or something, and we look at the artificial joint, but we don't look at the person. But Jesus looked at this man with compassion. He spoke to him with great authority. He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and he touched him. He touched him. This wasn't some accidental touch. This wasn't an unimagined rubbing. It was the Lord of glory touching a leper. wonder how long it had been since anybody touched this man. You know, sometimes you need people to touch you. Sometimes people come up to me and they say, I wish you'd give me a hug. I need a hug. And I'm always glad to do that, especially if it's a pretty woman. But I've even hugged a few men through the years. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that contact. I remember once I was going through a great trial in my life, and a fellow came to my house, and I couldn't even talk. I was so torn up. And he sat there and held my hand all afternoon one day. And I, through the years, I thought about how much that meant to me. The Lord touched this man tenderly while others evaded him. They said, there's that leper. You're supposed to be saying you're unclean. Go away to the other side of the street. I'm sure there were people who were critical of Jesus. Look at that fella. That Nazarene preacher, he's touching that leper. His first action would have been the very last thing that most people would have ever done. They wouldn't touch this man. But as the healer and the Savior, he stretched out his hand in mercy and he touched him. He touched him. If our Lord had been mortal and he touched this leper, it would have condemned him. Under the law, to touch the leper was condemning. But because he was the God-man, he could not be defiled. He remained pure in his cleanness and his holiness. The man he touched, the man he blessed, was instantly cleansed. Imagine that. I've had arthritis ever since I was in my early 20s. There have been very few days in my life when I have not walked and moved without pain. And I can't imagine what it would feel like to not have arthritis. This man, we don't know how long he'd been a leper, but however long he'd been, he was in bad shape. He was full up. But the Lord touched him. Christ's purity overcame this man's natural pollution. He was corrupted from head to foot with this terrible disease of leprosy, and the Lord of glory said, I will be thou clean. The life of Christ overcame the death of this corrupt body. This was a man condemned to die, a man on his way to the boneyard. But the Lord of glory touched him and made him clean. Christ's sacred touch brought purity and power to this condemned man. He extended his hand to touch that leper as proof of his willingness to heal. You're not going to heal a leper. I wouldn't touch one. Mercy of Christ exercised its power to heal him completely. I will be thou clean. The Lord's power restored health to his flesh. And more importantly, it gave life to his soul. Later on, he told him, say nothing to any man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Go tell them you're clean. That would be a nice thing to say, even if it was a lie. But this man was going to go to the priest and tell them, I'm clean. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. I wondered if the Lord, in cleansing him, restored some of his body parts that had fallen off. Or maybe he just healed the leprosy and the man went around scarred the rest of his life. And people would say, what happened to you? And he could tell them the story. How the Lord of glory had touched him. In this story, there's a contact. And there's a command. And there's a cleansing. When Jesus spoke, the issue of his will was settled. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. But that issue of willingness was settled as soon as Jesus spoke. His words erased all the doubts in this leper's mind. I don't know if he'll heal me, but I know he can. And when the Lord said, I will, all those doubts went away. Can you just try to imagine how this fellow felt? Immediately and instantaneously, the leprosy in his body was replaced with new skin that covered the sores that had been open for so long. Sores were healed and the foul flesh became whole and healthy once again. He made him clean. The Lord Jesus imposed a promise of silence on this leper. Verse 44, he said, see that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. You see, the Lord didn't want him telling what he had done because he didn't want these people, first of all, to interfere with his ministry, and secondly, they would soon try to make him a king. I mean, my goodness, if you're a slave of the Roman Empire, what better thing could you have than a king who can heal all problems? He urged this man to be silent, but the leper went and fulfilled the demands of the law regarding his wholeness. But now he was full of zeal. He was excited. And there wasn't any limitation to it. He just couldn't be quiet. I don't know how long this man hadn't talked much. Lepers didn't have anybody to talk to. They didn't talk to themselves and anybody to talk to, except for the lepers. But now he's got a good news. He's got a story to tell. And he cherished his healing, and he told everyone that he met about Christ's touch. Let me tell you what happened to me. Jesus departed. And this man sent the needy to find the Lord. The Lord didn't want to be flooded with lepers who needed healing because it would hinder his ministry. He healed a lot of lepers. But sometimes he would heal one out of a multitude. Jesus feared that they would desire to make him a king. He didn't come to be a king. Came to be a sacrifice. This man's testimony hastened Jesus' persecution by his enemies. He went out and he began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. The Lord of glory was moved with compassion. He put forth his hand and he touched this man and he said, I will, be thou clean. There's a parable hidden here. That he who can cure the disease of sin can also heal the sin of the disease. You see, disease starts with sin. No matter what it is. It came about because of sin. Adam and Eve did not have a medicine cabinet in their bathroom. There were no pharmacies, no doctors, no surgeons, no hospitals, no easy care clinics until sin came. This man's leprosy was a physical display of the effect of sin. And the vileness of this terrible disease displayed the curse of God on iniquity. Leprosy was a deadly and devastating disease of the flesh. But sin is the unwavering condemnation of the heart without Jesus. Christ's healings are the removal of sin's pollution. When Jesus touched this man, his body was instantly healed. Jesus came to my heart one night, many years ago, and he touched me and healed me. When he touched the leper, sin's effects were all eradicated. When Jesus touched my heart, all sin's curse was condemned. The ugly outward sores were visible tokens of sin, and the Lord of glory cleansed them all. In our Lord's miraculous healing, there was a symbol of his power. The same Lord who healed leprosy also healed the iniquity of sin. And no matter how vile a sinner might be, his touch was sufficient to cleanse. The Lord's sovereign power works in miraculous acts of cleansing. Our Lord was always busy preaching God's word and doing God's work. And when he cast out demons, this needy leper came begging for mercy. And the Lord touched him. And he cleansed him. And he saved him. When Jesus speaks of cleanness, it is He alone who makes clean. He told this man to be quiet. Don't tell anybody. But the joy of God in his heart provoked him to speak of Christ's power. I tell you, we are a people blessed of God, and we ought to be joyous to tell others this good news. If you will, you can make me clean. I will. Be thou clean. Amen.